Alright, today I have quite some things I want us to look at. I call it the pastor's protocol. Everybody here is a pastor. That is why you are here. Joshua 1:8. The pastor's protocol. Now, by definition, I'm just going to give you a typical definition of the term or the word protocol. I try to pen what protocol means. By typical definition of protocol. Sorry, one second. Protocol is meant to be a system of rules and acceptable behavior used at official ceremonies and occasions. Protocol is a system of rules about the correct way to act in formal situations. That is the correct way to act in formal situations. There's protocol on how things are done. This is how, if you are going to do this, this is how you, if you're a lawyer, for example, there's a way you appear before a judge. If you're a judge, there's a way you appear in court. Protocol. Also, there's a way you address people. You know, so there's a protocol. Now, a pastor also has his own protocol. Protocol just simply means order and a way around it. You just pay attention to where we're going. And everybody needs to hear this very well. This is a year of growth and growing. And in growing, you need to, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 and 11, he said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I understood like a child, I thought like a child. He said, but now I become a man, I put away childish things. And so Paul plays around the word and appeals a lot there, that he's an undeveloped person. So there are things to put away, there are things to mature in. And maturity is not time. Time should help for maturity, but maturity might not be time. That's why he said in Hebrews 5:12, the time you ought to be teachers, you need that one teach you again. That things would be the first principle of the Holy Ghost of Christ, of God. So it shows that it's not time. You could have been around and you are not maturing. So, therefore, in the work of pastoring, you must ask yourself, am I growing? A pastor must also grow. You know, some people see pastoring as the height. When they are chosen as pastor, they think they have gotten to the zenith. No, that's just a starting point. Because even as a pastor, you now start growing. Okay? There must be growth. And if you are not careful, your church will not grow beyond you. Usually, your church grows at your pace. Okay, the fellowship, your cell group will grow at your own pace. So, or at your level, almost be constrained to be at your own level. So you must watch it that you are growing. Growth means you are developing, you are adding something. It's a plus to you. You know, somebody was talking to me, he said, there was a way you said the same thing in 2015. We spoke 2 nights ago. He said, there's a way you said now is very different. I said, almost 10 years, you don't want me to grow. I'll grow now. I mean, why am I feeding on the word of God every day? Why am I? So that I grow. The way you handle things will also grow. The way you do things would, you know, it's, of course, growth will mean better as well, but you have to grow. So in ministry, you must grow. You should be able to listen to your sermon 5 years ago, listen to your sermon today and say, well, I mean, I can almost feel like, oh, did I say that? you know, how did I say it that way, you know? Because you're actually growing. And you also see the things that you've handled. Oh my God, I've handled this before, but now I have the experience. So you must see yourself growing. Growing and growth must be intentional. You know, you have to be intentional about it. So Joshua 1:8, more often than not, this has been read by many for what is called prosperity materially, but that's really not the essence of the text. I always say that anytime something is written to someone, who is the person? Joshua is a pastor, okay? He's the leader of the nation of Israel. If you back up to Numbers 27, that was when, Numbers 25 or so was when Moses was forbidden by God to go into the land, the land of the promised land, majorly. And you know, when that happened, God, you know, had to choose somebody else. In Numbers 27, about 17, Numbers 20, sorry, was when Moses. So Numbers 27 and 17, and he asked him to have Joshua to lead his people. So that's the context of Joshua was not a businessman, so that Joshua wanted it to now mean so that you can have money. Joshua was a leader. So the context of Joshua 1:8 is to a leader. And look at it again in verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, that is Moses' associate, minister, servant actually, the word Abed. Then he says, Moses, my servant, is dead, never arise, go over Jordan, thou and all these people unto the land which I do give to them. So he just gave Joshua the same thing he gave Moses. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread on, yet have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall be no any man who stand before thee all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. So that's a leadership role. Then it says in 6, be strong and of good courage, and for unto these people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land. So that's leadership, which I swore to the fathers, to their fathers, to give them. Only thou be strong and very courageous. I just mentioned this. Notice that when it comes to the work of ministry, there's always this prayer about boldness and being strong. And we're going to talk about that. God wants strong leaders who are firm. You know, a person who can be shifted now and here and there will not be able to lead God's people. It has to be firm. You know, not harsh, not stubborn, but firm. Firm on his convictions, firm on where he's going to. And that's one of the things we have to watch in these days. A good number of people are almost afraid of the social media canceling culture. I've had pastors say, who cancels who? You should not be, let anybody, you know, get you subsumed. One friend of mine on Facebook said something about this generation. This generation is very different. There's this thing about they're different. That anything you say, they will check it. Anything you say, they will check it. I said, let me now ask you a question. All the checking they are doing, where is the intensity of the work of the ministry? We can't see it. He's checking. I said, let me just mention this. There is no generation in the Bible that does not have people that mock ministers. So there's nothing new. It's just that this one is on Facebook and social media. That's the difference. It's the same thing. I said, so you don't glorify an ungodly conduct. You're trying to exalt the new. They are different. There's nothing different. Every generation is always meant to be different. So there's nothing about being courageous as a leader, because the work that is given to us requires courage. Courage means there will be difficult situations, there will be conflicts to handle, and therefore he says, be courageous, thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not it to the right hand, to the left, thou mayest prosper where you go. Notice he says that you should, you know, Paul referenced this by saying, the things you have heard of me amongst many witnesses, 2 Timothy 2:2, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So the same way here he's saying, what Moses told you is what you should do. Joshua 1:7. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night, and observe to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and have good success. So this is an instruction to a leader. It's an instruction. That means the book of the law is what is your way to lead God's people. Now back up to Deuteronomy chapter 17 and go to Psalm 1. You see that in Deuteronomy 17, when Moses also spoke, or he gives a general instruction about those who will lead God's people, Deuteronomy 17 and verse 14. When you are coming to the land with the Lord thy God, giveth thee, and thou shalt possess it thou therein. And thou shalt say, I'll set a king over me, like as all the nations are about me. Now, technically and theologically, let me use that phrase. Joshua was the king over Israel. Okay? So now he's saying, thou shalt in any wise set over king, set him a king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren thou shalt set king over thee. Thou may not set a king over thee that is not your brother. Okay? He shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he shall multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said to you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart not turn away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Now this looks more like caution, okay? So that's caution, caution. Basically, he is not supposed to pick the culture of Egypt. That's just what Moses has said here. Then he says in verse 18, it shall be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. Shall be with him that he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he not turned aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he, his children, in the midst of Israel. So he gave the instruction of the king. In chapter 18, it goes to the prophet, but then let's leave it at king here. So in Psalm 1 verse 1, where it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Does that reference what we just read now? Okay. Then it says, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. This is a psalm of a king. In fact, historically, this is a coronation psalm. That is when a king is chosen. They read this psalm. That's why Psalm 1 and 2 are technically the same. It's like the book of Luke and the book of Acts. So he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. All this is their symbolisms of a king. Bring forth fruit in his season, his leaves shall not wither, okay, and whatever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind drives away, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Now, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Notice that it flows into Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? Now, it says, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have him in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I'll declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. So he instructs the king here, and we have done this study that the king here is called the son. Now if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 7, this is exactly what God said to David. Now, when a king is going to be crowned, Psalm 2 is what is read. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. The begotten there is the enthronement. It's not a biological phrase. This day have I begotten thee. This day have I crowned you. That's why it was a psalm that both the writer of Hebrews and Paul connected with Jesus. Acts 13, 32, 33, Paul connected that with Jesus. Hebrews 1, verse 5 through to 6, the writer of Hebrews connected, and both with the resurrection. That when Jesus rose from the dead, this psalm therefore becomes relevant. This day have I begotten thee. Of course, in some theology, it said that it means he was born again. Well, I would have said that quite some years ago, but I won't say it that way again. Because the begotten there, from that context, means you are crowned as king. That's what it means. this day have you crowned as king. Because God said to David that, that your son, I will be a father to him. That's why when Jesus asked the question in Matthew 22, the Christ, whose son is he? And he said, David. They were right. But he said, if David is his father, how then does David in the spirit call him Lord? Then Jesus goes to Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies your footstool. And at that point, they were stunned at the kind of response he gave. So, which means the son of David is also the son of God. Okay? The person who takes on the throne of David is also the one who sits on the throne of God. That's as much investment God made with David. So the Psalms of David should be read very primarily like the Psalm of a shepherd king, a pastor, a leader. David stands in God's word as a shepherd, a pastor, a leader. So if you read his Psalms outside of that context, I mean, you are reading outside God's plan. So a king is a pastor. A king is a leader. So when God called the nation of Israel, or let's look at the first person that was a king and priest by the name of Melchizedek in Genesis 14. And he says he was a priest of the Most High God, king of Salem. Melchizedek, king of righteousness. Melchizedek. Okay? And then he begins to serve. He gives Abraham bread and wine and blessed him. Okay? And notice that the writer of Hebrews says the less is blessed by the greater. You know, making a lot of allusions to that story. Now, in Psalm 110 verse 4, is said to be connected to Jesus, or let's put it another way, that son of David that will sit on the throne. So when David said, and that's one of the Psalms that is very messianic. Other ones are by identification unifiers, okay, fulfillment. But when David said by the Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, the only person he could have referred to would have been Samuel. And it wasn't Samuel. Sit at my right hand. Yahweh said to Adonai. I remember Pastor Chris Okotie was explaining that text in 1990, you know, and he said that for the sake of reverence, they changed Yahweh said to Yahweh to yes to Adonai. But the point is that the Adonai, that's master of the king, has to be Yahweh. So already the true Yahweh factor is there. Said, sit at my right hand. Now when David said that, David is saying that the son of David that God promised him will be his son is also God. So David had as much insight about that, maybe not totally, but he did have. So this Psalm 2 is a psalm of coronation. I use this example a lot when my father was going to be coronated too. And you see, they did it also in England. If you watch the King Charles one, when the Queen of England passed on, you notice that there were some rites. There's some things they read out. They are ancient documents. They read it out. You know, so within the ancient Nessan culture, they had those kind of things. In the coronation, you read incantations. In my own time, in our own town, they had to say some things. They'll call my father, you know. So what is believed is that that person, okay, David is still the person sitting on the throne in Solomon. Just like Adam's son was in his likeness and image. So it just is a biblical pattern like that. So for example, my father was called Sheke Ogunwaja the fourth. Why? Because in his lineage, that was the first king. So it's believed is that same person that is still king through his seed. That's why I said he will prolong his days, which means that he will keep reigning through that seed. So when it says that David's kingdom in 2 Samuel 7 will be forever, you know, and then Peter said, the David that said that psalm, his sepulcher is here. You know, but David knew that it is through his loins, right, that, and they knew that that's the culture, that's the pattern, will the Christ sit on his throne, through his own loins. So it's still the throne of David. In fact, in the book of Revelation, Jesus is called the star, the son of David still, based on that prophecy, based on that pattern I just mentioned. So his days are prolonged. So they will still call, that's why in Ezekiel 34, when I was talking about the shepherd, he said David, as though he's the same person, David, and just called the son of David, which is that same pattern, that is still that same person. If you ask the Lord now, who is on the throne? You'll say David. Alright? in Jesus. Who is on the throne? Jesus. Who is on the throne? David. You are saying the same thing in that biblical language. Does it make sense? So which means that when he called Israel in Exodus 19, 5 and 6, a kingdom of priests, which has kings and priests, it simply meant he was raising a nation of pastors. A nation of pastors, those who will stand and oversee people, who oversee their lives, which is the bishop of the New Testament, and will also minister to them, the priest. Priest will minister, the king would oversee. Priest will serve, stand before God on their behalf, minister to them on behalf of God. The king would oversee and see to their welfare every day. God was going to raise a nation like that of kings and priests. So why then was the law critical? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You will meditate day and day and night. I believe that later translations should alter that word meditation, because it gives us the impression that what he's saying here is devotional. No, it's multilateral. The word here is agar. And agar, in every other rendition, or most renditions, has to do with being loud about something. It involves the mouth and the heart, and it goes about saying something from your heart with your mouth. Okay? Now, that can also be devotional, but what Joshua 1:8 is saying really is, day and night, and I mentioned day and night to us, that day and night is not necessarily time, maybe 6 to 8. Day and night means different seasons, okay? That's what Paul meant by in season and out of season. So he goes that you day and night, then you make your way prosperous, have good success, which means that your message must be the law. What you must preach. So it's really primarily about his message. Now, of course, his message was also something he's going to meditate upon. And Paul said as much to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and 15, based upon these things, give yourself wholly to them that your profiting may appear to all. Now, the profiting Paul is talking to Timothy about is where we are going to. The profiting is not that so that they will now see you bought a house. Mm-mm. That your leadership wisdom will be seen by everybody. That when you give yourself wholly to those things, then your profiting will appear unto all. So why the law is the question. Why the law? Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I've said to us many times, the word law, Torah, is not do's and don'ts. It actually means direction, wisdom, insight. Over time, the use of law has been so bastardized. Deuteronomy chapter 4, notice how the law is described in verse 4. But you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. Verse 6. Can we take that verse 6 together? Keep therefore them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the nations. We shall hear all these statutes and say, surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Verse 7, for that nation is there, so great, who had God so near unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him. Look at 8. And what nation is there so great, and has statutes and judgments so righteous, so all this law which I set. Okay, now look at verse 9. Only take heed to thyself to keep your soul diligent, lest thou forget the thing which thine eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart, from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them your sons and your sons' sons. So you see that the law there is wisdom. How to handle life's affairs. Wisdom. The law is wisdom. It's the word of God. So, now, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You will meditate day and night and observe Joshua 1:8 to do all that is inside. Now, at this point, what he has is actually Deuteronomy. Leviticus, majorly, but really it's Deuteronomy that he's talking about, because that's the book of the law, the second law. Of course, it now has embedded in it the stories of Numbers, Leviticus, and Genesis. What's Deuteronomy? And you notice that when Jesus also came, God became Jesus, you notice that in the wilderness, his focus was Deuteronomy. In Matthew 5 was Deuteronomy. In fact, it's almost classical that Paul's revelation is fixated in Deuteronomy. So, here, it says, shall not depart from your mouth. There is no book of Joshua now. There's no First Kings. There's no Psalms. So which means that embedded inside the Deuteronomy, of course, through to Genesis, is God's word for the pastor of that time, the leader, who was going to lead men. So it says, you make your way prosperous and you will have good success. I guess the make your way prosperous and have good success. The success there is what has caused many to think he's talking about success principles. Actually, the word here is chokmah in the Hebrew. It means you are going to be prudent. Prudent. Chokmah. Prudent. To deal wisely. In fact, let me use some verses. You will deal wisely in the affairs of this life. You will deal wisely. Now, the question I want to ask you is this. Is he talking about his personal life or his leadership? Of course, it will also involve his personal life, but it's in leadership. That is, you'll be able to deal wisely. Okay, now, look at that same word. Chokmah. You see it? You deal wisely in the affairs of this life. One second. Yep, the second one is the word, no. The second word is the word sakal, actually. S-A-K-L. And they both deal with how you handle life's affairs. Thou shalt have good success. The first one, you make your way prosperous there, is chokmah, that is, you are wise. The two statements is about being wise. You are wise. You are just a wise person. You know. But look at the word sakal. Genesis 3:6, where the serpent said to the woman and the man, okay, to make you wise. Genesis 48 verse 14, you know, when Jacob crossed his hands, and the writer here says his hands wittingly for Manasseh, that is, he was smart, wittingly. That's the word sakal. Deuteronomy 29 verse 9, that thou mayest prosper. Deuteronomy 32 verse 29, to understand. Joshua 1:7, that thou mayest prosper. Joshua 1:8, have good success. Now look at 1 Samuel 18 and verse 5. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 5. David went there, whosoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. That's the prosper there. Behaved himself wisely. In 1 Samuel 18, verse 14. He behaved himself wisely in all his ways. Verse 15. He behaved himself wisely. And that's the prosperity he's referring to. Verse 30. He behaved himself more wisely than all the servants. 1 Kings 2 and verse 3. 1 Kings 2 and verse 3. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, including the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper, behave wisely. 2 Kings 8 and 18 and verse 7. 2 Kings 18 and verse 7. The Lord was with him and he prospered where he went. It means he behaved himself well. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 19. 2 Chronicles 30 verse 22. Nehemiah 8 verse 13. Nehemiah 9 verse 20. Job 22 verse 2, to be wise. Job 34 verse 27. Job 34 verse 35. Psalm 2 verse 10. Psalm 2 verse 10. Psalm 14 verse 2. Look at Psalm 32 and verse 8. Psalm 32 and verse 8. Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach you in the way to go. That means I will give you wisdom. Same word. Psalm 36 and verse 3. Psalm 36 and verse 3. You are left up to be wise. Psalm 41 and verse 1. You are prudent. Another way to call it, you are skillful. You are dexterous. You are deft in how you handle issues. Exodus 28 and verse 3. I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, chokmah, spirit of wisdom. Exodus 31 and verse 3. Filled with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding. Then verse 6. Wise hearted. Smart. Exodus 35 verse 26. Verse 31 and 35. Exodus 35 verse 26. Verse 31 and 35. 26. In wisdom. 31. The Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding. 35. Filled with the wisdom of the heart. Exodus 36 verse 1. The Lord put wisdom and understanding how. Verse 2. Bazahel. The Lord put wisdom, chokmah, skillfulness. Then the Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 6, the one we read earlier on, has the same word chokmah. Skillfulness. Dexterity. Ability to, if I one of the words used for chokmah and sakal is to be multitasking. Somebody who can handle many things together. Multitasking. So a pastor is expected to be a multitasking person. Multitasking, dexterous. One who can handle different things together. So Romans chapter 4 verse 6, we read that earlier on. That people will be astounded, astonished at your wisdom. So Romans 34 verse 9. Verse 9. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of wisdom. Wisdom, peculiar insight in handling life's matters. Wisdom. Now notice where that wisdom will come from. It will not come because you are reading mafia books. It will come Because and some of us make that error. You interplay what you are learning in the secular world. Somebody told me, he said, because I was doing some research work for them. And he said, how are you able to make this distinction between what you do in church and what you are doing for us? He said, in fact, he said, I'm still wondering how. I said, well, it comes with time, but you must know boundaries. We're coming to that in a moment. There's a boundary. There's what God asks you to give his people. And at no point must you give less. I know people have a way of twisting things. I'll just repeat what I said, you know, earlier today. You know, one of our brothers is watching, as a cell leader. And the pastor was telling me in London that he was living 8 hours away from church. 8. To and fro. And he didn't miss church for almost 2 years. No service. Both prayer meetings, midweek service. That he would leave for church Saturday night, arrive Sunday. Leave again Sunday night, arrive back Monday. And he never missed church. And he used to come with disciples. And if you know the amount of money, in fact, the pastor told me, he said, Pastor, I had to be giving him money. That my conscience cannot take it. They all listen to what I'm saying. So I told the man, I said, you know, you are a role model to me. That is what we celebrate in the church. Not, you know, all these people come and give testimonies, and they come and say, you know, brethren, what did God do for you? You know, it's not wrong to tell us what God did for us, but you see, do you want me to go and steal? do you understand? These five fingers are not equal. There are different reasons why God did it for you. There's some things you did for God to now do what he did. That you may not be able to tell us what you did, but you tell us the one God did. It's just what it is. Do you understand? You're about to say, underground where it has stories. You don't want to hear it. It's just what it is. But you see, when it comes to Christian example, we are all on the same template. Rich and poor, great and small. So say you are a model, a role model. Consistently like that. What an example. And we have people like that here too. Who will travel hours to go and pastor. That is the model we should be talking about. When you say that in a place, people will say, okay, they'll just ask you, so you travel it out. Uh-huh. So you say, we got a lot of people born again. What does that mean? So what's the commercial value of that trip? That's the world. That cannot be our wisdom. So if you feed on the world, you will begin to teach the people of God from the world. You know that's what you are doing. You just be using, you know, there are some pastors, they learned it from the world. They will plant people in churches. They are overseeing the church. You see, in fact, one pastor gave me, he said, after all, God also sends spies. I said, did he send spies among his people? He said, he sends spies, it means he sends spies. The way I do, I send spies to those churches, so they go and check what they are saying. Mostly what they are protecting is the offering. I said, well, we don't do that one here. We trust people. There was a brother who took, he used to pastor one of our fellowships. And the brother would bring people for WCC camp meeting. We just, those people are just very different. He said they are his members. They now brought up one WC like that. And the people started misbehaving. What's all this? What's this? And those days, WC, you just enter and start praying. And so they were saying, what's all this? Who are these people? They cannot be members of our church. Unknown to us. Because we will send the brother money to bring people down. So he will now call people from the campus. Do you want to go to Lagos? You want to go to Lagos? Don't worry. But you do one thing for me. One night. You will spend it. Then you... And so, Those people do not know that the kind of night he's talking about is in Sheol. So they rebel. So when we now found out that, I don't do that. I don't have time for that. Oversight does not mean to be a gossip. And then he was doing other programs. He will now do a program, academic, he will do concert. Then he will not show us the audience, what they are doing. He will just show himself on the pulpit. So we will think that it was a teaching seminar. I'm talking about Saints Community. We are talking, Saints Community. Abi, you know the story very well. And this same guy who was watching somebody on TV in my house and said, this man is not a word man. Can criticize. He ran away later. Because there was no member. We had that kind of experience. We should also have spies. That's mafia moves. Is that okay? That's the world. We don't do that one in the Church of God. Our own oversight is not by CCTV. Put it in your church though. Because as the church keeps growing, you have this multitude. They just come. They are born again, but it's again. So I don't want to lose my money before I start to teach you. Let me keep my money. I'll teach you without me losing my money to know what I'm supposed to teach you. You don't understand that. You now see 1 million there. I'll now be looking at teaching you either so let him steal no more. I wish I can add a cost to it. I'll have to give my 1 million. So you better I keep my 1 million very well. You can take somebody else's own. There was one guy like that. He stole a phone. Very expensive phone. Not these organizer phones. When organizer first came out. No, not organizer. Is this a Nokia communicator? Is that the name? I use that phone too. And they took the phone. The pastor was answering on the pulpit. The guy just sent a text. Be generous. you can afford this phone. Me, I have to sell it to feed my family. Sir, you know that this course will not work. He was selling the text. But I just gave up. This is Billy's son. So, You have the tendency. Some of you, because you work for marketing, they bring you to a department in church. Say, Living Word Media. You know what I'm saying? The strategy we're going to use is we'll be doing streams. We'll just make sure that certain streams, they even caught one musician recently that they used to spike streams. They just be number one, all those kind of things. You just see some people, you put something online, 5,000 viewing. Then you go and see their church. Where are the viewers? You begin to use that one. No. I'm not saying you do it for your company. Don't say I'm the one that make them sack you. That's your organization. But in the house of God, it is this book of the law. It's strictly the wisdom of God. God wants you to feed his people with his word. In 1 Kings 3, and verse 28. Well, we are going to see 1 Kings 3 and 28. That's why Solomon, when he prayed, he said he saw the judgment, the wisdom of, when he gave the child to the rightful person. The wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. You always know those who truly want to serve God. Even when they can't get positions, they will never ask the ministry to go down. Never. Because they have labored. They won't want anybody that they led to that church to go astray. They would rather take the wrong. When Solomon, the one said, how do I know who the mother is? He said, okay. Let's divide the child into two. You take the heir. The one on the other says, no problem. No problem. Like, if I'm not going to have a child, you must not have. That's how some people are. If they are not the ones preaching, nobody must preach. If they are not the ones on TV, nobody should be there. You know? And Solomon said, you cannot be the mother. You cannot be. If you have a stake in this, you can't want it to die. If truly you want to preach the gospel, you can't want any church to close down. If you have a stake in the gospel, there is no minister that should be excited that a church closed down. What's the joy? Somebody was telling me one day, he said, what will happen after days go by? You know, this judgment, they say, it's a year of judgment. I said, I've been hearing year of judgment for many years. Who is the judge? Say, year of judgment. He said, some churches will come down, some churches will come down, some ministers will say, I said, what will not happen? Do you think that if that church closes down, the members will come to you? It has never happened before. I said, why have you not prayed that that church should receive light? Why is that not your prayer? Why is destruction your prayer? Because you have no stake. It's about you. You have no stake. It's about you. Someone was telling me there was somebody who did a book, and then the book put materials there, and he said, no, this is suing for plagiarism. I said, how am I going to start? That he quoted me without putting my name. So I'll now ask them to withdraw this book. So what will now happen? Would that bless anybody? He said no. I said, but whether he put my name or not, if the teaching is the word of God, it will bless people. If he now does what is wrong, God will judge him his own way, but the word of God will grow. You see, let's put people's interests ahead. You know, I'll talk this story about these two ministers. I know them. They had this issue about somebody gave an altar call, the other person felt should not give an altar call, and then it was about ministering to the sick. So they both called me. This person, he came up. I didn't expect him to do it. He did this one. It was a very funny story. When I was hearing this, I just asked each differently. Sir, I hope you prayed for the sick. Yeah, we did. That one is okay. Let's now resolve our issues. But if the sick went home, sick, and we now are fighting, they will just die. Because we are fighting. The fight we can resolve tomorrow. But the sick will have died. Let's know first things first. If you have a stake in this matter, you won't want things to die. Is that clear? Me, I've lived all my life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a stake. So I'd rather suffer than have the gospel being in that because something was done to me. You know, you shouldn't put yourself first. Some people don't care. So Solomon said, this must be the mother. Because if it's truly from you, right, you will never want it to die. Is that okay? You will never want it to die. What did I tell our pastors the other day? I said, we must be able to train people in the word of God such that if they fight with this church and leave, they should be able to stand wherever they are and teach the gospel. Is that not what I tell you? Now, let's assume they don't like us again. They don't like anything we're doing again. Say, anywhere, they should be sound enough to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we should not personalize it. Are you here? Never. So, Solomon prayed. Now, 1 Kings 4:29. Just some other text like that. 29 and 30. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much largeness of heart. Verse 34. People came from far and wide. But look at his prayer in 1 Kings 3. And I want you to see, this is what I want you to do. This whole year, write it down. Every day, pray for wisdom as a pastor. You hear me? Every day. How often? Don't forget what I said though. Every day. Because sir, your wisdom must increase. Right? It must increase. Look at what Solomon did. First Kings 3 and verse 9. Said, "Oh Lord my God," in verse 7, "you have made thy servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in." Anyone like that? Anyone like that? Anyone like that? I'm not using my skills. That's what he's saying. I don't know how to come and go out. None of us knows how to pastor. You get it? You are giving. Even the experience you were giving. You know, today I'm always grateful to God that the experience I had, he gave me. The ones that didn't look good, I'm grateful now that it's a gift. The experiences I was crying in the middle of it, it is now a gift to me because now it's a blessing. Are you following my point? It's a blessing. Those nights where you almost were, what's going on, is now a gift. Things you didn't know matter. You know, when you called Joseph now, Joseph would say, what you meant for evil, God turned it for good. What did he turn for good? Prison. Slavery. But that was how he became the prime minister. Of course, that was not pastoring. But it shows you that some things you may think are uncomfortable, they will become a gift. You will learn patience in some things. You will learn endurance. Some members will come. They are to make you wiser. We'll see that shortly. So now look at verse 8. "And your servant is in the midst of people that you have chosen." Hey! "A great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitudes." Do you know that the more people increase, the more, you know, you have all this type C, type A. You know, if you keep spending a few more years in ministry, you will know types. I know this one type. You know, it's not like you're prophesying. You know, however, you know, I know this one. Because you have seen different kinds of people. Say there are much. There are those who are us different. Say, "Lord, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And God told him, "You didn't ask for long life, riches, or the life of your enemies. You've asked for it to discern judgment. I have given you a wise and understanding heart." Are you listening? A wise and understanding heart. Listen, as your ministry grows, you have to be wiser. More people will come. Some of us are not wise because we have restricted our ministry and we are not wiser than we were before. You are comfortable with people who, you know, they can just listen to you and all that. But you don't want hard issues. And if you don't want hard issues, you cannot want growth. There must be things that will test your character. The more people come to your fellowship, to your church, the more issues you will have to deal with. The more your character will deepen. When you see somebody that has a lot of people following him or her, it's because they are very patient people. Jobo Edeko said something years ago. He said, "Your greatest assets are your greatest problem. Human beings are your greatest assets." And that's where the problem also is. So the wisdom of God in you is how to handle different situations. Some of us, the thing in our head is campus fellowship. And you have not outgrown it. You've left campus, but that's still what is in your head. So when different people come to you, you have neither sought for wisdom nor acquired the wisdom to handle such people. Now, this has nothing to do with the message. No, it is the same book of the law. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not the message. Handling people, discipling different categories of people. Look at Jesus' ministry. I put here. He had the young and the old, right? Come on. Talk to me. Married and unmarried. By the time you see your ministry is tilted to just one thing, you are not going to be wise. Married and unmarried. I started pastoring married people 29 years ago. Being called to settle marital disputes. There was one I was caught in the crossfire. It was a very funny story. They were looking for a child. The man had a child outside the marriage. Before the marriage, sorry. So they were looking for a child. So the man went somewhere in his hometown to collect kurube. You don't know kurube? Okay. Kurube. So when he collected the kurube, they told him, the person that gave him the kurube, interestingly, is a white garment person. And told him that the kurube, that a woman who was having a menstrual cycle must not move near the kurube. So the man took the kurube home. They are both born again children of God. Children. Do you understand? So this was in 1995 or 6. The kurube, you know, mistakenly, no, he just told the wife that, mention the name. I don't know when you are doing your monthly thing, but please don't move near this. They told me, let me tell you the funny thing. They both related the story to me. So it's not like I wasn't living with them. The woman now took her pad with blood and went to put it on it. They were telling me the story. I was looking at them like this. She was not even shocked that he did that. What she was saying was, he's lying. They gave him that thing to take my destiny. My two born again speaking in tongues. So, as a man, they just started throwing. That's how they threw something at me. Go! Sorry, Jare. The funny thing was that evening was a Sunday evening. We were meant to do a fellowship meeting where the kurube fight was taking place. You know what I said? I just called sister. I said, sister, you two, you are wicked. You now took your pad with the blood. I said, pastor, let everything. She didn't even call me pastor. I wasn't called pastor then. So I said, okay. So I had to see two Christians now. And talking to them. Unknown to me, the sister too had gone to collect another kurube. So they started shouting. They fought each other. You know, after fighting for 2 hours, I was now tired. I just left the house. I was just going home. What's my home? It's one of God I gave without crew. I don't walk away. The next day, it was their neighbor that told me, Muslim. She said, no, all my neighbor will not be there. You know, I feel like what in the world, you know, I really felt bad that all the ministry have been doing kurube. Kurube is jazz. With sponge. Sponge, they put something inside, some red cloth like that. And I was teaching them. We just did a seminar. I used Hagin. But that experience made me wiser. Do you understand? It made me wiser. So, and you know, I've learned over the years how to resolve issues with married couple. Don't stress yourself. Let me finish that story. Later, it's his sister that said, they don't want to be coming to our fellowship. That the husband said he should go somewhere. The same person. As for another day. So that's wisdom. Don't let them use your hair to crack coconuts. You know coconuts? You know anybody that breaks coconut on his head does not drink. That's wisdom in the word of God. What I'm saying anyway is like, those experiences are there. You now have different kinds of people. Some of you, the moment somebody is not the stereotype disciple, maybe the person is a pilot, you start having problems. I told someone, I said, the person is a doctor, has to be on call. Yes, sir. I said, if you take someone to the hospital, and they say the doctor went for WCC. And in the same WCC, we have doctors there. We have clinic. So, you must know how to handle different kinds of people. It's called pastor's protocol. Each thing has its response. Jesus had young and old. He had the married and the unmarried. That's why Paul says, the unmarried does not care for their affairs. The married, as you are saying, prayer group is thinking about children from school. The unmarried is just saying, I can pray every day. And it's good. Everybody has their own. Don't now say, the married should act like the unmarried. Look at that brother. Look at that brother. He joined 4 prayer groups. Let him just have one sister that is falling in love with. That group will become company. Brethren. Oh. It's all right. That's for another day, another teaching. I will share some stories with you. Jesus had rich and poor. You know also, poor people can beef rich people. Why the rich can be arrogant? The poor are disdainful and envious. It's not about works. It's about the kingdom. Because those you have money, you will have those people. He had the rich and the poor. He had Pharisees and the not religious. Religious koi koi. Some will be in your church. There's one brother like that. We'll all be watching football. Nigerian Cameroon. Go, go. He won't say his job is speaking in tongues. What's that? He can't say, go. I said, oh boy, calm down. It's a game. He said, I'm just sensing that. She's sensing. God will be people like that. Will. And the point about people like that, when they leave the place, they won't go and pray anywhere else. It's just where you are. They will as soon as they leave your place, you just be chewing something. You have those kind of people. You have the non-religious. They will come. And you know spiritual growth doesn't happen overnight. So old man will still be there somehow. Fainting, small, small, small. Has he fully died? Just fainting. You wake up somehow. Faint again. Sometimes he's fully awake. Almost keeping vigil. Solomon said, I need your wisdom. He knows the kind of people, mixed people. You have prostitutes, they came to Jesus. How do you, I was showing my friends. One place like that. Assas. Assas in Ibadan. There are different areas. There's one place you call Atlanta. There's Assas. Atlanta was when I was in secondary school, and Assas. There's Crispo. Crispo was in the 70s. Was a few days ago. We're trying to do something about a movie on government college. So those men that used to act like, they were not telling us Crispo. Ah! There are Crispo issues. They used to also leave school to go to Crispo. They were going to look for women. In secondary school. So we went for outreach. In Assas. Assas is known in Molete. They had prostitutes there. One brother, he didn't know how to go about the evangelism. Yeah. The And they say, what's going on? The person was driving, the brother, he said. So, that's when they grabbed that brother into his house. They had to bring him out. And all that. Eventually, we had a good outreach. They now brought those people to church. In the Ibadan. They now came. They were speaking in tongues, so. That's how some brothers just moved away. One guy said that. He put them in a taxi, but could not follow them. That was how we lost them, oh. I bet them didn't want death. You just had prostitutes. Wisdom. Is that clear? As a younger boy, Uncle Adel told us that, he said, if anybody comes to you and tells you one big thing, don't say ha. If you say ha, they won't finish the story. Sir, I just, that's not what I meant. So just be saying, praise God. Go on, go on. And you're saying, bro. In your mind, that's alright. Man being Christ. It's a new creature. Because you're a human being. Except for a partaker. You'll be shocked. So prostitutes. Where with Jesus? Criminals. It was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, everybody knew that Zacchaeus was a rich man who acquired money in a very funny way. Jesus discipled him. There was Joseph of Arimathea. There was Nicodemus. And if your church is going to grow, you are going to have all those classes of people. So you break away from, some of us are thinking it's almost like fortress mission. Fortress. I tell our leaders, when we are planning, I said, this one you are planning, when we are planning for the special meeting, I said, if you invited me, that I love the world, I won't come. With this kind of organization, I won't come. You can't say I don't love God because I didn't come. I love God. I've loved God, I know. But you don't look serious. Are you following my point? So, the wisdom of God is our ability to handle different things, to multitask. Say, I can multitask. Say, I can multitask. I can pastor different kinds of people, different classes of people. That is multitasking. Everybody cannot be pastored the same way. There's a friend who was a pilot, still a pilot, pardon me, and he was always in the air. He only had 2 weeks off, and in 2 weeks he'll come do crusade and go back before he got married. When he got married, he changed the schedule. And you are going to pastor that person. You pastor military people. You think they will be coming to church if every military person goes to church? The weapon of our warfare will become carnal. Because you have police people. You have DSS. You know, you give an example. For example, Brotune is a DSS. You don't say that one outside now. The Brotune is a DSS. It's not true. I'm just... Before you say... You don't say those kind of things. I'll give you an example. You say, you know, just like this sister, you know, she used to be. People say, oh, praise the Lord. There was one person who gave testimony, saying, I'm talking about HIV, that people who have HIV do not run away from them. HIV, and people say, yeah. It was my partner that told me, he said, you organize it. Yeah. We all say, yeah. It's true. The love of God. So when she finished the seminar, she now said, I have a surprise to tell you. They're waiting with me. Say, I'm also HIV positive. But I think from the first removal side moment, they are sitting back. You know, that's very funny. He said, Shegu, we didn't see her off to the car. Bless you, ma. Bless. I know the testimony you are sharing. People don't forget, oh. When he says, my sins are iniquity, I remember no more. Pay attention to the pronoun. You and I will remember. You and I will remember. One reason of my life, I came to tell my father, he said, Uncle, I'm not a Christian. Yeah. He said, that your engine of your 504. I sold it. The wire, I sold it. My father said, that's good. It means that you have believed God. You are a truth Christian. As soon as he left the gate, he called everybody. He said, the next time that boy comes back. That's how I left. Keep your testimony to God. There's a testimony, don't share it. Oh. Share it when you are 70 years in ministry. They say, when was that? 70 years ago. Then they know it's not possible again. But if you say 5 years ago, Bernie has been saying, all things are possible. This thing can happen again. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. You're going to have different kinds of people. So you are going to pray for wisdom. For God to give you wisdom to handle different kinds of people. Some people, they will leave the church not because they don't serve God. They don't want to serve God. Because the pastors couldn't handle them. He has a prototype way he wants to pastor. Some of you tell me, hey, the people they work with, I say, create a fellowship for them. That's a unique thing. Create it. You should know, for you to be like, you need extra, what do you call it, schedule. You must work hard. Create a fellowship. And the way God does it, sooner or later, you will now find somebody in that same category who is able to pastor them. Like a missionary. You have to multitask. You can't say to somebody who is, for example, if a minister or a commissioner becomes a member of your church, and then Wednesday, he has a council meeting with the governor, and he says, no, put kingdom first. If you cannot attend Wednesday, you can attend cell meeting. Right? You can't attend Monday prayer group. You can't attend talk. So, God is giving you wisdom to handle anything that looks complex. It's not complicated. It's you being ready to multitask. Don't have a single kind of member in your head. Are you following what I'm saying? A single, that prototype. If a disciple is not like this, I can't pastor. No. Break away from that mold. And observe the pastor's protocol of knowing what to do for different situations. Look at those of them who are in United Kingdom, United States. It's not where you can say you are going from Sulele to Ikeja. It's not like that though. Sometimes the distance is 3 hours, 4 hours. I spoke about that brother. But you know, the most effective way that brother can be effective is to stay there after a while and groom people there. Is that not so? So you start thinking about that. Don't say commitment. You will not have people. The number of hours they should use to reach out, they use it to travel. By the time they are here, they are tired. They are going back. And you are not thinking, how effective can we be here? You multitask. Listen. Because, see, the high priest used to carry the names of people on his mind, on his chest. No vision. If you carry people on your mind a lot, this is true pastoring. And they're always on your mind. You will start getting wisdom regularly. Some people don't think about their members until it's time to preach. If you are always thinking about God's people, you will find God's answers. Did you hear what I'm saying? You are always thinking. Because you're always thinking. Because listen, pastors, you always have problems you want to solve. May you never have no problem to solve. That means there's no growth. It is problems that bring growth. You didn't hear me? You just say, how can I handle this person? This person loves God and loves the Lord. What about divorces? What will happen if two people who are divorced come to your church? You tell everyone, please change church. No. Because this world has different categories of people. So it's the wisdom of God that will guide us to observe the pastor's protocol of judging different people. Wisdom is the ability to know the difference. You must know the difference. You know, before, when we were doing World Conference, there's a way we used to pick the date. Now we don't do it again. We consider a wider variety of people. We now choose the date a year ahead. Why? Because some people need a year ahead notice. Back then, no, we could just say, let it all for the LCC, we pick the date in July. And it was August. If we do that one now, he will just be grumbling, praying. It's not because you don't love God. It's because you are not a wise leader. Are you following what I'm saying? And don't lead people based on your convenience. I've told some of you, don't choose time of meeting based on when you are available. That's a wicked leader. You look at your people. When are they mostly around? You have those who work on Sundays. So I say, why should anyone work on Sunday? And you buy things on Sunday. Or you just go home. You take Uber on Sunday. Eh? You have power on Sunday. People go to the hospital on Sunday. POS on Sunday. Let's go on and on. Restaurant. After church, when we say Greek people, you take a sister out to eat. Amen? Is it not on Sunday? Is it not on Sunday? We watch football on Sunday. We are here on Sunday. We have security people outside. It's not on Sunday. Don't you see yourself pastoring those kind of people? One day, was it in Abuja? We're having one breakfast. We're going to preach. I see Pastor Scully. Were you there? And then we now saw someone. You didn't need to be told that this is a believer. The way she spoke, I said, this is a Christian. The attitude, the smile, the not stupid smile, the way she was, and I said, she's born again. So when I spoke to her, now normally when I go anywhere, I tip people everywhere. Whether Uber, anything, I just tip people, I give you something. I just give you anything. So as she said, I said, you're a Christian. So how did you know? I said, it's easy to see that you're born again. So I told my friends, you were there that day. I said, you know, she has to be here to serve us. She can't be in church now. But anytime there's space for my work, she will be in church. Such people are also good examples of Christianity. We must be able to pastor them. So what I'm saying is, make your ministry multitasking. Don't have a single line kind of ministry. I'm saying to you that in the coming days, your meeting days are going to increase. Is that here? And the answer is not in the meeting days increasing. It's in you raising more leaders. So, as situations increase, leaders are multiplied. And you must not rush it. You mustn't rush it. So if you are going to grow, you have to work. If you are going to take something so expensive, it's like mining, what I do for a living. You are going to work hard. The amount of money we spend in my company just to find out what is there. Someone will say, eh? I say, yes. Because we are going to precious things that are not easy to find. Are you following what I'm saying? So, you will know. Someone say, Pastor Shagun is a young minister's friend. No, sir, a young minister. Because all their ipata is small to the one I did. No. I don't think it's small. Our own is, We went to Christ's embassy. We now put okay. Like this. Black suit. We now frowning. We now enter the church. And there's a way we work together. Because we have the word. So that's the first time I should get up. That's how my friends got up. Oh, Pastor Chris was the one who called the first time. 1995. That's speaking in tongues. He said, who are those guys? They just like, We now went for another meeting, a world mission. They had that Fremia Hotel. That day he took a while before he came. In fact, they had to be looking for keyboard. We had part of who went help them to get keyboard through Delu. Bro Delu. We had to go and get keyboard somewhere in UI. Pastor King sat down there. We were just waiting. We were sweating. Trying to arrange the meeting. When he started ministry, he now gave a word of knowledge. Nobody came out. Then my friend said, Who been? No, but I picked that thing too. Yeah. We went to look for the person, we went and said, you been the man? And we brought the person out to him. Yeah. You been. We now completed the word of knowledge. Go up. Oh my God. So when I see young people, that experience is now a gift. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the wisdom you pray for. So that every experience, you use it positively. No member should not be pastored by you because of their complex situation. Did you hear what I just said? It is time, guys, to break up the fallow ground. Take away the mold. And receive the wisdom of God. Now, what is that wisdom? Look at Acts 13. Paul went to the deputy. Do you know how to preach to... You know, there's a way Paul preached in the synagogue. There's a way he preached before Festus or Agrippa. It's not the same, oh. Don't say, you guys. You don't say you guys, oh. Some of you will lead songs. I just look at you sometimes. It's the pastor that will say, lift your hands, everybody. That's the pastor. If you are a worship leader, say, let us lift our hands. You cannot be instructing them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let us lift our hands. Don't say, guys. Eh? If you are the pastor, maybe. Look at Paul. In 1 Timothy chapter 5. He gives Timothy instructions. He said, when it comes to the elder, you entreat the elder. When it comes to the younger women, widows, husband, wife, do you know that he gave him instructions for each category? Look at me, everybody. In the name of Jesus, your ministry will embrace many categories. And it can only happen when you start growing. When you start growing. You won't behave like a child. You don't behave like a child. You dress like a child. Do you understand? Serious-minded people will just be looking at you. Just like you talk like a child. There was someone like that was supposed to do something for someone. And was supposed to stand like a guarantee. He was just pressing his phone, chatting. They said, this one is a small boy. Go and get somebody else. And he was able to do it. Is it where they will address you. Don't say, no, I don't need the collar. I had the collar. I've heard you. It's not just collar. It's collarbone. Better behave properly. So you should expand your ministry for people to come in. We are growing, you know? Amen? It's a year for growing and growth. Say, I'm growing. Our church is growing. Look at those of us who are in different countries. One of us was telling me, he said, sir, where I'm pastoring? He said, nudity is their culture. Nudity. He said, should I show you a picture of my disciple? Say, pastor, can you take it? He's a member of your church, oh. I said, I'll take it in Jesus' name. I told you. Do you understand? But you have to pass on the person. Amen? So all those your message of, is in Christ Jesus, is to be clear. This one too is in Christ. It's in Christ though. Even though that nudity has to now, you have to change the culture. But you first will have to understand the culture. You are expanding your ministry. There will be artisans in your church. There will be professionals. There will be those whose work is basically to travel. What if you pastor, hair hostess? We say, no. We must pray every day. Say, I'm flying to Dubai. Don't fly anywhere. Don't fly anywhere. No. Say, go. If you have trained the person well, one day, you will have a group of people like that. In the air, they'll be praying. Abi? So those kind of people are coming to your ministry. Say amen. Is that clear? It's not that you now go and create an engineer's fellowship. It's engineering you'll be preaching there. But you will know that there are people in those classes that you are going to raise who will reach their own kind of nation. They will be available at the same time in the same place. And God is making provision for them. What is the pastor's protocol? 1 Timothy 5, let's start to close. Is your ability to discern different people in your congregation. There are some people, you are going to discipline everybody the same way. Some people, the way you discipline them will be very different. Are you following my point? It will be very different. Not that you are going to be biased, but it's just the way you treat them. It's wisdom. Look at it, 1 Timothy 5. Are you learning something here? Growth is coming, oh. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Growth is coming. When we sit down and plan our meetings now, the way we used to talk now is not how we used to talk then. We now have a wider range of thinking. What about this? What about that? It means we are growing. That's why it's when people on social media, we are always sharing. You know some people on the road? You know, it doesn't have work. That's why they can be extorting people. When people sharing, arguing on social media, they don't have ministry. They don't. Usually they don't at all. Because if you are busy, look at what we are saying here. If you have all those kind of members, would you have, I told someone, I said, there's more problem in your own ministry than Winner's Apple. I hope you know. I said, if you focus on your own members, I told one 2 days ago, I said, 10 members, you have not been able to pastor for 10 years. You are now trying to pastor the body of Christ. 10 members. You've not grown to 12. You now want to go and pastor redeem for redeem. You don't understand. You know what a pastor Adeboye faces. There's some things you just look away. Even me at this time, I just look away. What? I won't even pray. You just take care of the way it's God's will. I mean, imagine somebody now having 3 million because we are going to be millions. Yeah, we are, that's where we are going. So, you have to, it's where you are going, you focus. Do you understand? Yeah, social media, arguing with somebody, whether salvation is eternal or not. Where people are not even saved. Let us have it first. Then we know whether it will go. So many people have not gotten the salvation. And so I say, if you are really particular, if you are really going to contend for the faith, you'll be doing evangelism. Evangelism, zero. They don't know how to preach, oh. I know that one. I know that very well. So you focus on your work. You have just 5 members. Don't you know you have work to do? Those members must increase. Usually some of us is because we have a stereotype of doing ministry. There's a set of people you always want to have. People that you can easily control. You know, you can easily. No. Your ministry is expanding. In the name of Jesus. That's why you are also growing. So your perception is changing. The way you handle things. Pastor Debo said to me one day, he said, something happened. They now told him to speak. He said, years ago I would have done this. He said, but no, I've matured. I won't handle it like that again. Why won't their ministry multiply in millions? Because you are maturing. I told somebody a few days ago, I said, you are here, hugging on Twitter, hugging on Instagram, on Facebook. You are not preaching to anybody. You are not doing evangelism. If you were God, with all the doctrine you have, and then this guy down the road, who is doing by fire, by thunder, but he's always on the street, using a megaphone, he says, who will you give your spirits to? Because if you give it to this one, he won't know what to do with speaking in tongues. He won't know what to do with the power of God. He'll just be saying, we speak in tongues, la ba la ba, la ba la ba. That's all. Meanwhile, the other person will say, fire, Holy Ghost! Paul said, come here, I want to go and preach. And you go and preach. You say, I got the Holy Ghost. Zero, man. Holy Ghost enter you. Holy Ghost has been in you. In you. Evangelism. Follow up. In you, within, within, within. Who will you give the Spirit to? Who would you use? The one who said he has the Holy Ghost, but he's always sleeping. Or the one who said, give me the Holy Ghost because he wants to go and preach. Who would you back? Guys, we have work to do. Are you following my point? There are not enough churches in Yaba. There are not even Lagos. There are not enough. We don't have enough. He said the earth will be filled with his glory. Amen? 1 Timothy 5. The pastor's protocol. 1 Timothy 5. Verse 1. Rebuke not the elder. Entreat him as a father. 2. The elder women as mothers. Younger as sisters. Different people. Honor widows. 11. The younger widows. 17. The elders. 19. The elders. Chapter 6. Verse 1. Employees. Verse 2. Employers. Verse 10 to 12. 2 to 17. The rich. Can you see that Timothy did not pastor one kind of people? He pastored government officials. He pastored young people. Married, unmarried. And that is the nature of your ministry in Jesus' name. Amen. Every mold you have put yourself in is broken. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You will walk with the mature and the wise. You didn't hear me? It's time to grow! It's time to grow. You will walk with the mature and the wise. Your ministry is expanding. It's growing. You are not stereotyping, Jesus' name. Your ministry is multitasking. Multitasking, multitasking, multitasking. And there are more things to deal with in Jesus' name. Sit up as we close. How does this wisdom come? Meditation. In the word. Guys, you have to be full of the word a lot. You have to be full of the word a lot. Wisdom will come when you think in the word. Wisdom will come when you pray. How often does that say you pray? Every day. Lord, teach me to do this. You put me over your people. I'm not different from them. I need your help to lead them. You pray. Then you observe. Wisdom comes from instructions. Listening to your pastor. It comes from instructions. Listening to those who are ahead of you. Pay attention. Listen. Pastor Hagin told us years ago, he said, when an older minister is talking, a younger minister should keep quiet. My dad told me when I was younger. He said, if you are going to be wise, walk with those who are older than you. It got to a point, he was asking me for my age. Because I had mingled with people who were older. You can think. So people ask me, how old are you really? With so much experiences and there's still more to come in Jesus' name. I'm still starting. I said, because I mingled with those who are wiser. You observe. You listen. So that no experience in your life will waste. Every experience, Paul says, the comfort that we are comforted of God, 2 Corinthians 1:3 to 4. With the same comfort we comfort you. Say the God of comfort who comforts us in trouble. That with the same comfort we are able to comfort those in trouble. So I see myself as a vessel. Through me, God is reaching other people. I may have a delay in one area, it's going to become something useful for someone. I may have a challenge in one area, it's going to become useful someday. Because my life is for him. He will use every part of me. He will use my mistakes. He will use my errors. He will use my indiscretions. He will use everything about me. He will use me. Use me, Lord, to build people. So Lord, I'm open. I'm open to ministry in different dimensions. The message is the same. The message is the same. It is this book of the law that I observe. What else? hands were laid on Joshua. Hands were laid on Timothy. And I sense to say this to some of us here today, and those of you watching me, you are not taking laying of hands the way you used to take it when you were younger. Go and repent. When the hands are laid on you, wisdom comes. Wisdom comes. And in this year, by God's Spirit, there will be streams of wisdom that will come to us by teaching. That's why when you are a pastor, when you are listening to your pastor, you are listening to everything. Everything is coming into your heart. Wisdom comes by the word, meditating on the word, comes by prayer every day. Prayer comes by observation, listening to instructions, and by impartation. Guys, it's a year for growing and growth. You are going to be wiser. You are going to handle complex situations. You will. You need new experiences. Because new people are coming your way. Church is growing. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Church is growing. Growing. Plantings are increasing. New people. I was talking to one of our pastors and I said to him, I said, you will never change. It's discipleship and evangelism. Be consistent and learn. Discipleship and evangelism. And different people will come. And God's Spirit is his answer. All the time. It's a year for growing and growth. You must never remain the same. This time 2025. Your barns must be filled. Your members must increase in number, in substance, in growth, in kind. You cannot remain the same. Be deliberate about it. I told one of you, I said, look at you in your career. You are going woo woo woo. But have you observed that in your ministry you are not? It means you are worldly. You're doing well in your career, which is of God, is exemplary in itself. But the bad example is that people will now see that you're not doing so well in the work of the ministry. That now becomes a bad example. So what ought to be a good example has become a bad example. You have to do well as a family man, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother. Some of our ministries are every area of your life you have to do well. Do you understand? We have signed this one. And we are never going to remove our signature. We are doing this for the rest of our lives. We will be exemplary all through in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet, pray. Wisdom from above. Pray.